so much. Our gospel reading this morning is found in Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 9 to 13. And Jesus said this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And we bless his word to our hearts today. Well, this morning I want to think about the power of prayer, Pentecost Sunday, and I think that's a good theme to think about. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this temporary Sunday school teacher, and she was struggling to open a combination lock, and she had been told the combination, but then she forgot it. And so, after trying a number of times, she decided she'd go to the pastor's study and ask him for some help. And so the pastor came into the room and knelt down at the combination lock, and he turned the two numbers and then started to stare blankly at the lock. And then all of a sudden he turned his head heavenward and his lips moved a little bit. Then he turned back down and got the last two numbers in the lock and opened up. And the teacher said, she was just amazed. She said, "I'm in awe of your faith, Pastor." He said, "Well, you know, it's really nothing. The numbers are on a piece of tape on the ceiling." Well, sometimes things are resolved with prayer and sometimes they're not. But you know, prayer is really a part of our lives. And I think we need to rediscover in the generation past the real power of prayer. And Pentecost Sunday, I think it's a Sunday to do that, to be reminded of that. And so this morning I want to challenge us to think about the power of prayer with that theme of Pentecost. And if you remember, recall for a moment the original story of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And Jesus had ascended to heaven, and just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus challenged the disciples, and not just the 12, but also a number of other people who were there, to go to the upper room in Jerusalem and to tarry there and wait to be empowered by the Spirit. Now, they weren't sure exactly what they meant, but they knew to pray in this upper room. And then suddenly on the day of Pentecost, there was like it says they were all one accord in one place, and the Spirit entered the room like a rushing mighty wind, and all of them were anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in different tongues. The people had gathered from all different lands for this holiday, and they all heard the gospel in their own language. And Peter stood up and preached. Now, when you think about that for a moment, when Peter stood up to preach, Peter was probably, even though Christ had prophesied over him to become something great, Peter was probably the last person you look at to stand up and sort of have the defining first sermon in the life of the church. And yet Peter, somehow empowered by the Holy Spirit, instead of being the one who sank into the storm or the one who denied Christ not once but three times when there's a shadow of persecution, boldly stood up and proclaimed the gospel to people, and thousands were brought to Christ that first day. And then we think of Paul, who changed from persecuting Christians to accepting Christ and be empowered by the Spirit, how God radically changed his life. And sometimes when we think about that, we think, well, it's just for the start of the church, or just for New Testament times, or it's just for a generation gone past. But you know, all of us really need to discover the power of the Spirit. And it may not impact us exactly like that, but God can take each of our lives and empower us and transform us in unique and powerful ways. But I think the key to that is the first thing they did was to get together, be united, and to pray and believe that God would fill in with the power of the Holy Spirit. And how many times we talk about being sort of saved or giving our lives to Christ, but we just talk about really opening our hearts and lives to the Spirit, because I think we want control of our lives, don't we? I mean, if we're honest, we want control of our lives. And the idea of surrendering ourselves to God sort of makes us shrink back a little bit. But when we think about prayer, then we realize we open our hearts and lives, and the Spirit empowers us to do God's work. Listen to Jesus' challenge again. Jesus said this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open." And sometimes when we pray today, we really forget the power of prayer. And in another generation, people used to talk about tarrying in prayer, or waiting on the Spirit, or getting together and having a night of just prayer. For us, a lot of times, it's sort of the beginning and the end of something. But notice a couple things, that for Jesus, this prayer was both persistent and progressive. So it's persistent. So the idea really, I mean, we can't see it as well in English, but really it just doesn't just say ask, but it really means to keep on asking. To keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking it and the door will be open to you. And the other thing is it's progressive. Sometimes when we pray, we want the whole plan laid out for us all at once. But I'm guilty. I'd like to know everything in the kingdom of God. Just let me know. Or let me feel like I have the complete ability to do all that. But faith isn't always that way. Faith is being enabled to take the next step and the next step after that. And Jesus says, ask and we give you, seek and we'll find, and not completely. There's a sense of stepping in progression. And sometimes God gives us enough faith, enough ability just to take one step. And you and I need to do exactly that as far as it is. But as we do that, I think our faith grows and the Spirit grows in each of us. And Jesus says, he gives this illustration of trusting the Father. He goes on to say, well, which of you fathers, if their son or your daughter asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, would give him a scorpion? In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, if you give good gifts to your children, how much more can we trust our Heavenly Father? That's true. All of us would go to our parents and know they would do what's best for us. And so when we pray and ask God to empower us with our spirit to do exactly that. In Psalm 37, it says this, and I love this because it talks about the good gifts of God and waiting on God. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the vindication like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And there's a sense, there's a tension there between waiting on the Lord and God will give us what we're asking. But we need to trust in that relationship, and as we have that relationship, God will empower us. So when we think about prayer, we need to think about the power of prayer. But I think there's something else we need to think about, which is when we think about Pentecost, we think about the church being empowered, but in the real sense in which people become other people's mirror. In other words, God uses all of us. In the Old Testament, when God had a need and the people had a need, God would empower or anoint the Holy Spirit on individuals. So it was Moses, or it was Samuel, or it was Elisha, or it was Ezekiel, or it was special people, Deborah and the Judges. But there was a promise that there would be a day that would come when God's Spirit would not just be for certain great individuals, but for every person. Young and old, men and women, every person, every place would be able to be empowered by the Spirit. And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. And when you think about that for that story for a moment, sometimes we get caught up in the idea of these people speaking different languages they didn't know. The real miracle is that people from all kinds of different countries heard the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, in the language that they could understand. In other words, every person that was in the upper room there had a part to play. And everyone had a gift of the Spirit that God gave them, and everyone was able to hear. And I think that idea is for us, too, that we can become a miracle sometimes. It's just the pastor, it's just a missionary. But each and every one of us is a minister. It's not what we do, but how we do it. And that brings the message of God to other people. And sometimes when we think about prayer, we just think about our needs, which are important, but to learn to pray first for the miracle for someone else. Listen again. John read the scripture from James, but I want to not just underscore the power of prayer here, but listen how that everyone is involved at every stage of their life in the home community of the church in prayer and in centering on God. It says this, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Not just the pastor, but all the elders come in and anoint them with oil. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Again, to each other. And then it ends with this. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And those two words, powerful, just means exactly that, powerful or strong. And the word for effective is actually energon in Greek, which means simply energy. That's where we get energy from. It means the energy or the ability to accomplish something, to do something great that's beyond ourselves. And that's really what the power of the Spirit is about. And I challenge all of us to think, how could we be someone else's miracle today? Now, he gives the example of Elijah, who prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain, and then prayed that after 3.5 years that it would rain, and it did rain. And that's a good miracle. I probably don't want to pray. Well, actually, right about now, there's all this water out here. You might want to pray for it to not rain anymore for a little bit. But it's not just that, but it's ways that we can help someone else. You know, today, you might not be able to walk into the hospital room and pray for a miracle. We could pray for a miracle. God could use you to heal someone. It might not be as dramatic as you think. But we all can pray a word of encouragement. We can say a prayer for someone. We can lead someone to Christ. We can do something that's encouraging and be someone else's miracle today. And that's just as powerful as any miracle that happened in the New Testament. And sometimes we get caught up in the big miracles, and sometimes we get caught up in people that have a lot of abilities. There's a story I saw on CNN not too long ago, and it was a follow-up story about these two twins by the name of Kylie and Riri, and they were born in Massachusetts at 28 weeks. That's really pretty cool. So the baby's life were sort of safe. One twin was born very strong, the other one quite weak. They put them both in separate incubators, which was the medical practice at that time, which was about 17 years ago. And the one twin had difficulty breathing, and its heart was very weak, and so the doctor came into the parents and said, listen, your one twin is doing well, but the other one might not make it to the next 48 to 72 hours. And of course, they were just heartbroken by that, and the respiratory rate was wrong, and the heart rate was kept weakening. And so one of the nurses had an idea, and she said, well, let's put the two twins together in the same incubator. And at that time, in this country, that had never really been done. They always put them in the same incubator. So they did. And they said, well, they really had plenty of things that they could do for the twins. So they put the two twins together, only 28 weeks, and very premature. And the stronger twin immediately put her arm around the weaker twin. And right then, you see it on the monitor, the heart rate strengthened and breathing evened out for the next 24 hours became strong. 17 years later, they interviewed these same twins, and they talked about that. Of course, they're teenagers now, so they kind of make fun of it a little bit. But you think about that for a moment, and only sort of 28 weeks, you know, actually into life itself. And the one twin was able to encourage the other with that. It's called a picture you can look up called the rescue hug. You know, you might be that miracle for someone else today or during the course of the week, and you might not think giving someone else a hug is very much, but that might just be the miracle that they need. You never know. And so sometimes when we think of that being a miracle for someone else rather than putting our needs first, God uses that in powerful ways. And I think even our lives are touched in powerful ways. I heard about this story, read about it actually, about this woman who had a brother who was a farmer in Wisconsin who was 60 years old. And she noticed he was weakening, and they took him to the doctor, and they found out from the doctor that he had kidney failure. And they said, if it keeps going, you're probably going to need some kind of a kidney transplant. And he kept getting weaker and weaker, and the doctor told the family, well, you know, the best place to look for an organ donation is from the immediate family. And so immediately the sister Evelyn said, I'd like to donate my kidney. The doctor cautioned her and said, well, you know, if you're an actor or something, you only have one kidney, you should be in trouble or something could happen, that could fail. And she said, no, I really want to do that. And so his deterioration, his condition continued to deteriorate. They didn't think he was going to live. And so just before they went to the hospital for the organ donation, like, her brother Lyle looked out the window, and there were hundreds of robbers. He said, he looked out and he said, Evelyn, come on, look at that. And he said, remember that scripture in Matthew says about, you know, don't be anxious. Look at the birds of the field and how they need a sown and torn. Look at this promise from God. And so with that promise, they went to the hospital, had the wheeled in there, and she gave him one kidney, and her brother's life was saved. He went back to farming, and she went back to teaching. And this is an example that, you know, sometimes God heals through an incredible miracle, and sometimes God heals through the miracle that's in us. But today, to think about the power of prayer and think about the impact that we have on others' lives, that's really what the miracle of Pentecost is all about. I like to think about one other thing, which is that you and I do have sometimes times when we come to God and we need our own miracle. And we're encouraged to do that. Jesus encourages us to do exactly that, to ask and to seek and to knock and keep going for that. And there are moments in our lives where that's exactly what we need to do. Nothing but a miracle will do. To continue with that story of Evelyn, 2.5 years later, after that kidney transplant, that organ donation she gave, she was driving down a country road in Wisconsin with her 10-year-old granddaughter in the back seat, and they were on the way to a Christmas party for the family. And all of a sudden, the person coming down that little two-way country road came into the middle of the road and hit them head-on and knocked in the ditch, smashed the car, horribly. The whole left side of the car was smashed. She was pinned in that seat. Fortunately, her 10-year-old granddaughter was okay, but she was bleeding in really bad condition. And so that granddaughter walked a half mile to the family's farm and made the call. Paramedics came out, were able to rush her to the hospital. And so she woke up in the hospital room, and her brother was there, her brother Lyle, and he was sort of smiling, and she wondered what was going on. And of course she said, well, you know, the doctor said her rib cage was smashed and she had some damage and everything. But you know, the amazing thing is the doctor came in and said, where's your sister's left kidney? And Lyle said, well, it's right here, inside of me. And he said, well, he explained the organ transplant. He said, well, you know, that's a miracle, because if she had that kidney, it would have been punctured, and she probably would have died there in the car because of the accident. You know, sometimes when we do something, there's a miracle waiting that we never realized might happen. And your miracle to someone else might really be a return miracle to you someday. You never know the way that God has things planned. The miracle of Pentecost is that everyone, not just sort of pastors and missionaries, or like prophets like Elijah or Samuel, David and other people have God's Spirit, but that each and every one of us has the Spirit of God. And we are the church best when we are the church together. All of us bringing our gifts and talents together. And it's amazing as we look at this 150th anniversary and all these great things that we have, all the chapters of the church. Well, this chapter of the church, too, has a lot of power. And the next generation of the church has a lot of power. And all of us have gifts and talents. We give those to God and really believe in the power of prayer. There are great things that can happen. I want to end with this poem, which I think is great. I've read it before, but I love it so much about the power of prayer and the necessity of prayer. I want to just close with this. It says this: I got up early one morning and rushed into the day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems were tumbling about me, and harder became each task. I wanted God's help with my duties. He told me he didn't ask. I wanted to find joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. Why wasn't God helping me, I wondered. He answered, but you did not seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I tried all the keys at the lock. He gently but lovingly chided, my child, you did not knock. I got up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. You know, all of us can seek God in prayer, and God can empower each and every one of us to be someone else's miracle and a miracle to ourselves as well. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we're so thankful for the day of Pentecost. Not only that Jesus died and gave his life on the cross that we might know forgiveness and new life and was resurrected in new life, but that he also sent the Spirit to us to comfort, to empower, to make us stronger, and to make us united as one church. We pray you bless us today. Help us to discover the power of prayer and to be open again to anointing our lives in fresh and powerful ways. In your name, through your power and to your glory. Amen.